The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life but put a smile on your face, and who couldn't use a good smile on their face? The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Hopefully, before this introduction is over, life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Well, there's a novel idea. Let's use life lessons for our faith. But some of us probably won't. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? We paid the bill today. That's why. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about that living life as a Christian thingy. That's a pretty important question to ask and to talk about and to review, because you said yes to Jesus, and then that didn't end it. That only began the process. Now you're in a lifetime of yeses to the Lord Jesus Christ. He became your Savior and your Lord, which is where the carrying on of the yes sirs come into play. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we encourage you to reach out to us. You're welcome to do so. It can be a prayer request, a praise report. It can be something that the Lord's been working on in your life. You can have a general question about life. You might have a general question about the Bible that we may be able to answer immediately. Something like, you know, how many books are in the Old Testament? Or you may ask a question that's really much more difficult. How many A's are in the entire Bible? I don't know. I'd have to look that up. Here's the bottom line. You are welcome to reach out to us and contact us. You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do, Terrific T answers the phone, and that is always terrific. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. It comes live right here on my desk, assuming that the technology does not fall apart while I'm looking at it. Also, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, that'd be me, @hemustincrease.org. You can do that live during the show as well. Kind of fun, because if you don't feel like texting and you really don't want to call in, you can email, and it'll get right to us right here on my $1.19 Chromebook right in front of me. Also, we encourage you to check out the website. A lot of cool things. I even make a statement about science. You make a statement about science? Yes. Okay, here's Wowzer. Wow. Just check out hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichokey, our favorite theological term. We will get to trivia later on. We always do that in the next segment, the first segment. I just kind of get on a little bit of a soapbox and just kind of talk a little bit about some of the texts that we're dealing with. For those that don't know, we're in 1 Thessalonians, we're in Psalms, we're in Matthew, we're in Ezra, we're in Acts, we're in Hebrews. Yeah. So that's the expository part. And then we also do topical issues, depending on what's going on. We'll do the expository part mostly from the 1:30 to 2 o'clock time. In fact, today's is going to be out of Psalm chapter 4, Psalm 4, and we're going to start with verse 4 in just a second. But there's one thing I want to say to you to just speak to the body of Christ just so that you can be aware. There are many people who are listening from different denominations. So you have people that really in our audience run the span. It's everything from Assemblies of God starting with A to YWAM people that's at Y and everything in between. So the point of me bringing that up to you is you are going to have some differences from people. In fact, you're going to have differences from yourself 10 years ago, so that's not something that's all that bizarre. But the good thing to remember is that we are the body of Christ. And that if a person has named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely, authentically, deeply, devotionally, and they love the Lord, and they're just like you, trying to draw closer in, trying to be processing through the Word of God, through prayer, through fellowship, through serving, through those different processes, but they have different backgrounds or different associations than you, let me explain to you just simply what King David said, that is okay. King David said, I am a companion to all them that fear you. There is something unifying about the body of Christ. And when you hear the need or the prayer request of somebody else, do me a favor, step out of your own little universe. Stop making it all about you, or me, or you, me. And let's just care about other people as well. It's amazing when you pray for somebody else how that faith that you have ticks up just a little bit. Because that's how God designed it. So let's care about others, loving God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Ready to go? We're ready to go. Psalm chapter 4, verse 4, classic beginning. Here's what it says. Be angry and do not sin. You're thinking, are you reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26? No. This is Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Some people don't know that that's in the Old Testament. Here's the deal that we want to talk about. There is an anger that you have as an emotion, as a response, that is in your life, depending on what's going on, and there is a way for that not to blow up. There is a way for that to not overwhelm you. So in our society today, the reality in this is people get more frustrated, and the frustration they have festers. And then when it festers, it gets to be a little bit worse. And then when you're letting that frustration fester and get worse, it starts to develop into something altogether different from where it started from. This is why in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, Paul said, be angry and do not sin. Let not the sun go down while you have that wrath in your heart. Don't let the sun go down upon your anger. Why? The whole premise there is so that the anger doesn't sit inside of us and stew and grow and get bigger and get bigger. And that what started as something as kind of like, eh, becomes something like, oy vey, and then becomes something like, ah, it's driving me crazy. Well, that's not the way to go, because in the Christian's life, there is this major principle. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the pouring out and continuing ministry of Jesus Christ in you and through you is living inside of you, and you have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. See that last one? That's the one people want to skip by. What do you mean self-control? Self-control means you can control yourself. It's not a sin to be angry, and righteous indignation is throughout the scripture. It's just where it goes. And so David is talking in this psalm, and he's in a kind of a difficult position, and he understands that there's a level of frustration that's normal, but then he also adds to it its clip or its containment. And he says, be angry, but don't sin. What happens is a lot of us get angry and then go, doo, jump off the ledge, it's bad. So if you have a propensity to anger, or if you have a propensity for hanging on to anger, or if something irritates you and it goes from an irritation to a frustration, from a frustration to a full-blown, you know, proclamation of your disgust and just your hatred for something, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing, you got to stop that. Okay? That's not okay. It's not okay to let anger just run amok. What do we have in society today? A lot of that going on in a lot of different directions. Doesn't matter. That's not what you're called to. Jesus Christ is your Lord, and he does not like that. Now, is the wrath of God going to come on the world at the end? You bet. Nothing's going to change that. But none of those things are the fact that people say stupid things, and they do, or do stupid things, and they do, gives you or I the right as Christians to go nutsy cuckoo when we're mad about something. What that means is that there has to be a level of control. It is right and righteous to have a certain amount of anger and frustration that is in check in self-control. You are allowed to, and if you're one of those people like me, so I have a couple of really choice areas where my anger just, it doesn't do great. Is that a nice way to say that? I really don't like it when I'm driving 5 miles over the speed limit. Let's just say the speed limit because it's a Christian show. And I'm driving 5 miles over the speed limit and a semi truck is 1 inch behind my back of my, I can't stand that. Just think that's just not right. I don't like that. So then I let that build into something, and then it can build into something altogether. And soon I'm thinking, if the Lord wants to open up the ground and swallow that truck hole, that's fine. See, that's not okay. That's the loss of control. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't make it worse. Don't let it stick around. All right, we're going to come back and look at the rest of that psalm. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, right. This is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. Now, I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him. And he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be
if David stayed and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready for our first trivia question. Ooh, here we go. This prophet, you got to name the prophet. Name that prophet. Da, 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 da. Okay. This prophet, famous for his vision of the dry bones, was with the exiles in Babylon. What was his name? This prophet, famous for his vision of the dry bones, was with the exiles in Babylon. What was his name? If you know, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. You can do that either way. Somebody's already calling in, so I have a feeling that they know what it is, or who it is, I should say, not what it is. I want you to be aware that, tomorrow, I've got a very special discussion. I'm actually going to be talking about fear in the second hour, so I hope that's helpful for some people. And then don't forget, we have Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 2, on Thursday. Okay, are they ready to answer? Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ken, David.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I am wonderful.
It is great to hear your voice.
Thanks for taking my call again.
Oh, our privilege. At all times, our privilege. All right.
I hate cutting anybody out, but I'm going to say that was Daniel.
Okay, I'm going to give you another chance because I want you to think it through, okay? Now, it's going to be one of the major prophets, but we're going to walk it together. This prophet was famous for a vision he had of dry bones, and dry bones were like he's spoken unto by him. It would be the one just before Daniel.
Samuel.
No, before Daniel in the book, before Daniel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, who's the one that's got a really funny name?
Ezekiel,
that's it right there.
I could have done it without you.
He had the vision of the dried bones. I don't know if you remember that or not. Just a classic kind of portion. You know, it's one of those things that are dry bones and they were spoken to. But it was Ezekiel. I think it was Ezekiel 37, 36, 37, 38. I think it's 37. Anyway, that was the chapter that we were referring to. But still, you were right there. And see, Daniel, right after Ezekiel. So you knew it was right in that area. So you had the geography going. You had it together.
Well, I appreciate your help on that. And I'm going to get one of these right one day.
I know. You will get there. I mean, I could just start off by saying, what's the first word in the Bible? The first one or two words. You could probably give me that one, right? What's the first couple words?
The first couple of words in the Bible?
Yeah, what's the first couple of words in the Bible? It's the opposite of out.
in the beginning.
There it is! Yeah, see? You're a champion. That's what it is. Good job. Good job, Ken. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, we have fun. Right? Yeah, we do have fun. Okay, now watch. This portion, so we're going to zip into this portion because I'm going to try and communicate it in a way that won't ruin it. But I can just tell you right now, every preacher, every teacher, every communicator, every person who exhorts people or an encourager, whatever that is, not one is as good as the Word of God. I'm just saying the Word of God is better than all these people. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there. Ian Bounds, one of the people that I highly admire, you know, you're only as good as the sermon you live, and it's like, nah. That ain't right. And the reason it's not right is because the gospel message is so much better than people. I mean, I just you can't say much about that. And the resurrection, who can live up to that? Nobody really lives up to that, except for Jesus. So right after verse 4, right in the other part of verse 4, when David's writing this psalm, remember we had talked about David, you know, had made wonderful or set apart for himself those who are godly. And then he says, be angry, don't sin. And then he says this, and I find this to be the challenge for the common faith today. The second part of the verse says, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Now, what's amazing about meditate within your heart on your bed and be still is you already can tell when it says meditate within your heart on your bed, the within your heart part means there's no words. Okay? So you're meditating on your bed. Doesn't mean you're sitting at your bed going, om. Because the word meditate in the Hebrew means to flip it over in your mind, kind of like a burger. You flip it over, right? Okay, unlike a steak where you let it sit for a while. The bottom line there is that you flip it over on your mind within yourself and you're still. And you think meditation, people have kind of, I think, people have in this day and age kind of ruined the principle of meditation, which is bizarre because Joshua 1:8-9 talks about meditating on the word and that's how you're successful. I mean, it's all throughout the scripture. But this is giving you some instruction softly about how to do this. You're laying on your bed, you're at night. What is supposed to happen or what should happen or what would help you to happen is simply this. And it's funny because at the end of this psalm, David talks about sleeping. So you already know he's thinking of this process of, yeah, this is when I'm closing it down. This is when the day is done. This is kind of what I'm doing. So he gets in bed, right? And he's contemplating, meditating, flipping over and over what? The things that God has done, the things that God is doing, and the things that God will do. And he's having this engagement with the Lord, and it's amazing because what we try to do is like when we pray, and Jesus spoke against this, we try to fill the air with as many words as we can come up with. And Jesus said, oh, these people think that because of their much babbling, they're going to be heard. And it's like, it doesn't work that way. That's not how it goes in communion with God. Sometimes the best devotional time you can ever have is you being before the Lord and saying nothing, but just considering how he has helped you. And what's amazing about this is our society is geared against this. Who would deny that we live in a microwave society? Do you guys remember when they didn't have microwaves? Do you remember when you had to do the popcorn on the stove with the Jiffy Pop thing? Do you remember that whole 6 minutes and you were like, boy, it's so fast. Look how fast it's 6 minutes after the burner turned on, which took 10 minutes for the burner, where it's like 15 minutes. Now, if you put a bag of popcorn in a microwave for 15 minutes, let me tell you what will happen. Your house will smell for a week as burnt popcorn goes everywhere. It takes a minute and a half or 2.5 minutes now to get our – we are a microwave society. And what do? We from one light to the next light to the next light. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. And there's so much noise. I mean, there's just so much. And the scripture encourages us. Knowing where society is going, to break from the norm. Get on your bed when you're going to sleep. Consider the great things that God has done. If you had a tough day, and I've had many tough days, consider the great things God has done or the anticipation for what God will do as he brings the next day. Instead of filling your mind with such angst and fear and discouragement and depression. And let's be honest about it. You know, moments where you've had relationships where you're just like, oh, you're just upset with the person, or you're even upset with yourself. When you're in this place of being before the Lord, quiet before the Lord, you're breaking the tensions of all those things. You think, Dave, this is a lot of like practical teaching. You're teaching more practicality. This is why it's in the scripture. When it says meditate with all your heart on your bed and be still, it's not a suggestion. It's not, hey, here's some really good guru advice. It's telling you, you want to get through this life? You should get on your bed, meditate with the Lord, shut everything down, and be still. And that will enable the peace of God that passes all understanding to keep you in the place you need to be kept. Most of our anxiety and frustration and discouragements come from excessive thoughts, mostly on things either we can't control, don't understand, are concerned about the outcome for. And what the Lord wants you to do is take some of that mind time and just think about him. Think about what he's done. Think about what he's shown you in the scripture. Think about what he did for the children of Israel. I mean, he did crack open wide a sea and put the walls standing on each side and let them go over on dry land. That's amazing. I mean, God has done some really cool things, not just for them and in the book, but in your life. I mean, remember when those remember when you prayed like your first couple of prayers and they got answered? You were like, what? What? He's been good to you. Consider that. Meditate on that. Think about that. Let that be what fills your mind before you go to bed. Not the anxieties or the fears or the concerns or the struggles, but the victories and the grace and the peace and the mercy that God has granted you. Let that be what fills your mind and heart in this really sorrowful and poor world. Let the grace of God be your prevail, okay, in your mind. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, and then we're going to come back, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da-da-da, that's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
Serve. There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA.